Welcome to my Soul Series. Soul Series is part of Oprah and Friends, exclusively on XM Radio Channel 156. And you can listen to the entire Soul Series collection on xmradio.com/Oprah. It's uplifting, enlightening, truly powerful. Welcome to Soul Series.
So glad you can join me again on my Soul Series this week. I've been hogging Eckhart Tolle, author of The Power of Now, to myself, and he's kindly been indulging my many questions. I could really spend a day and a night and a weekend. Boy, would you be great for a slumber party. But since this is talk radio and you're listening to me on Oprah and Friends XM 156, I thought it would be really great to open up the lines and have him share his wisdom and indulge in your questions. I placed a brief paragraph on my website, oprah.com, soliciting people who'd read The Power of Now and who had questions of their own for Eckhart. And I knew we'd get a great response, but I was blown away by the volume and the intensity of those responses that so many of you sent in. You know, Eckhart, you do know this, that you've literally transformed the lives of so many people. Mm. What does that feel like to you?
Well, I don't feel that I did it. Something happened through me, and that's how the book got written. And that's when I give talks or answer questions. I also feel not so much that I am doing it, but it's a process that happens when you become still. I always begin the answer to every question or the beginning of every talk I give is entering the stillness and becoming comfortable with not knowing. And out of that being comfortable with not knowing comes the knowing. And I don't identify with that which comes. I just allow that to come.
Wow. Well, that's cool. Well, yep, you said to us last week you weren't dominated by the ego, so you don't feel either it's great or not great, or isn't this a great thing, and isn't this wonderful, so many people are reading my book. You don't.
No. I remember my old ego, of course, would have loved it. But it really doesn't. I don't have that sense now of even having achieved anything as such. It's just being open for it to happen, being an open channel for consciousness to evolve.
Gee, I love that. You know, I can't say that I am not dominated by my ego, but I do feel that sometimes when people will say to me, I've watched your show, I just was coming across the street here to radio, and there were three women standing on the corner who said, your show changed my life. And, you know, I was wanting to feel something about it, but I just sort of thought, well, okay.
Yes, because I have a feeling with you also that is happening, that many things that you do and say are actually come from a deeper place than the ego.
That's right. That's what I'm supposed to do.
Yes.
That's how I feel about
yes.
it. Well, this is exciting. Wendy Graham is on the phone. Hello?
Hello. How are you, Oprah?
Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Eckhart. How are you?
Fine. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your work and sharing your life with the world. I am so grateful.
Thank you.
And the question I have for you this evening is, how do you embody what you talk about, you being free of the domination of ego? Can you please share your experience of living in the here and now?
Well, thank you, Wendy. Thank you. Basically, life becomes very, very simple. So I don't inhabit a world of problems, because my primary interest and the primary focus of my conscious attention is always in the present moment. It doesn't mean that I'm not aware that there is a so-called future. I may be aware I have to go to this or that place. I have to be there in an hour or 2 hours, or tomorrow I'm going there. On the periphery of consciousness, there's always the knowledge of what needs to be done on that level. But the primary focus is always on the present moment. And so life becomes basically very simple. And it could also be described as a state of surrender to life, which is always the now. So my relationship with the now is a very friendly one. And I sometimes actually suggest to people that they can also, if they if they inhabit a life full of problems, they can actually also change their relationship to the present moment. So that's a very important question to ask yourself at any time. What is my relationship with this moment? And then you need to be alert and see, am I making this moment into an enemy? Am I treating it as if it were an enemy? Or am I treating this moment like as if it were an obstacle that I need to overcome? For many people, the present moment is always some kind of obstacle because they think they always need to get to some other moment desperately, but it's always this moment. Or am I reducing this moment to a means to an end, just a stepping stone to get to the next moment? These are all ways of denying the present moment, a means to an end, an obstacle, or even an enemy. So become aware and many times during the day and see, how am I relating to the present moment? And when you do that, what you're really asking is, what is my relationship with life? Because the present moment is essentially your life. It's nowhere else, never, ever. Your life, you can only encounter your life in the present moment, nowhere else. So it's a vital question to ask yourself what your relationship is with life. Because if your relationship with life is one of hostility, which is when you make the present moment into an obstacle or an enemy, then life always reflects back to you your predominant state of consciousness. So when you are treating the present moment as if it were something undesirable, your life experience will then reflect back to you that state of consciousness, which means you experience life as hostile. One bad thing after another, one problem after another.
But what if you really do have problems?
You have to always start, enter the present moment with your attention so that you find that space of now in which actually problems cannot survive.
In the now.
In the now. And out of that, because then that moment you contact a deeper intelligence than the conditioned thinking mind. That is the place out of which intuition comes, out of which creative action comes. It's the place out of which knowing comes, wisdom comes, right action comes. So you find, first of all, go deeper into now so that make sure that you are one internally with the present moment so that you're not in a state of negativity to do with the present moment, because that is a dysfunctional state. Now, you could, of course, take action on the basis of negativity. For example, you might feel very unhappy with having little money, and then you become angry even, and then you work extremely hard, and finally, after 5 or 10 years, you become wealthy. But all that action is contaminated by the negativity if it comes out of anger, and it will create further suffering for yourself and others. So the important thing is, am I aligned internally with the present moment? No matter what it is, you say, this is what is, and you open yourself to that, and no matter what the situation is, you can always find something to be grateful for. Because gratitude is an essential part of being present. Because when you go deeply into the present, the gratitude arises spontaneously, even if it's just gratitude for breathing.
Wow.
It's gratitude for drinking a glass of water. It's gratitude for that tree that you see there. Gratitude for perhaps the aliveness that you feel in your body. Gratitude is there when you acknowledge the aliveness of the present moment. The power of life wants to come through you, but it can't. Only a little trickle, perhaps, if you're lucky, comes through. So the most vital thing for anybody who wants to even change their lives is, first of all, come to a relationship with the present moment that is one of openness, friendliness, acceptance,
even if something is going on in that moment even, that is making you uncomfortable.
Yes, even if it looks okay. Externally, the mind would usually judge it as negative.
You are very highly enlightened. Because that's hard to do when you're in the middle of a crisis, I got to tell you.
It's hard to do, but it's something for people to find out whether they can do it.
Okay.
And sometimes the mind will tell you, oh, there's no point in even trying.
All right.
So very often the thought that says you can't do it, or the thought that says you can't be present now because you've got too much on your mind, says the mind. So you don't necessarily have to believe every thought that comes into your head, and you see, oh, there's another thought that says I can't be present.
Yes.
And then you're present
Just
anyway.
Keep going back to what we were saying on a previous show. In this moment, right now, I'm all right.
Yes.
Right
so now. The question was, how do I live? And that's how I live. But I'm saying the important thing is not so much how I live. The important thing is how you live. And the essence of this transformation, of this way of empowered living, is to make the present moment your friend. That's the foundation for,
okay,
for empowerment.
Thank you, Wendy.
Thank you, Oprah. Thank you, Eckhart. Thank you so much.
All right. That's Wendy. I know Wendy. Wendy's my daughter. So that's how she got the first phone call. She's my life partner's daughter. So I've watched her grow up since she was a child, and we talk about these all the time, this subject all the time. And when she heard that you were going to be on, she was like, oh, please. I called her, and I said I would send the tape. And then I said, you know what? Do you have a question? And so she's been planning her question probably now for 6 days. It was great. All right, thanks, Wendy. I'm getting on to Anthony. Anthony, hello.
Hi, Oprah.
How are you?
I'm good. Hi, Eckhart.
Hello, Anthony.
My question has to do with human relationships.
Yes.
As evolving spiritual beings, how do we stay in touch and connected with other people, particularly family members and close friends that are highly unconscious?
All right, yes. Thank you. Good question. That's many people will be able to relate to that question. When you feel that you are becoming more conscious, you're waking up out of identification with the mind, then in some cases you find family members, close friends, relative, they are still totally immersed in identification with ego and with thinking. Your primary thing, of course, purpose is not to expect others to be conscious. So first of all, you need to drop your expectation that others should be conscious or should behave consciously.
And also there's a little bit of, I remember when I first started many years ago, becoming more aware, there's a little cockiness that comes, which is obviously your ego, I know that now, where you're kind of like, I know this and you don't.
Yes.
So you have to put that in its place also.
That's right.
Yes.
Because at many stages of one's awakening, the ego can come back in.
Right.
And claim some kind of specialness.
Yes, because I know and you don't.
Yes.
Yes.
Because the moment you say, I know and you don't, that you have identified yourself with a mental position, which I know, and that's the ego.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So first of all is you accept other people, you accept where they are at in their evolutionary development. So first comes the acceptance of others, and then you may find as you continue to practice presence, as you continue to grow in awareness, you may find that certain people around you are also beginning to change. Some will, some won't. If there's the slightest readiness in a person close to you, then something that is happening inside you will transmit itself, so to speak, and also trigger another person's awakening. If there is an opening in the other person for that. So what people usually find as they awaken spiritually is that some people around them awaken with them, and then you're on that journey together. And they also find that other people, friends, drift out of their lives gradually. those who are not ready to awaken.
Because don't you attract like frequency?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you also you attract very often, as you say, new people into your life that correspond to this new frequency that's arising within you. Now, one other point here is that there may be certain family members, people who will remain in your life, and it's quite possible that they may not awaken. And your spiritual practice is to surrender to the fact that they are who they are at this moment.
Wow.
This is not expect them to be different. The moment you drop your expectation of, let's say, your parents, they should be more conscious, or what other kinds of expectations that people have is, my parents should understand me, but they don't. Why should they? So you drop the should, which is a thought, and you accept your parents the way they are. And the next time you visit them, maybe your father says the same thing to you. He says, you should have listened to me 20 years ago, you would be better off now, or whatever the old story is that you've heard so many times. And instead of reacting in the same old way, you can simply allow him to say that and just be there as an open presence for what for those words, for what he's saying.
I got it. I just had an epiphany. You surrender your attachment to
this,
your expectation of what any outcome should be.
Exactly. Yes.
I got that. Did you get it, Anthony?
I did. I very much did. Thank you.
Wow, that's great. You just, you know, and you've said this, Eckhart, about how you move through life surrendering to the now. You surrender to what is.
Yes.
And then that's what you were trying to explain to him. You do the same thing with all other situations and obstacles with people or whatever your expectation of them should be. You surrender to that.
That's right. So because very often when we talk about surrendering to the now or accepting the now as it is, very often it means a person that is there in front of you in the now.
Right.
So you accept whatever this person says or does is will be a reflection of their evolutionary stage, and it's you accept it as it is. The amazing thing is when you completely accept a human being as they are right now without demanding that they should be different or they should be more conscious, if you completely accept, then very often change happens, which otherwise would never have happened.
Wow.
If you had resisted or if you had demanded or expected this or that. There's an enormous power behind that acceptance, because the moment you accept another human being completely, a deeper consciousness comes into play, because that's another way of contacting the space or the stillness inside you.
I got it. I had another epiphany, because I was just going to say, when you accept them, it changes the frequency, it changes the energy, it changes the space.
Exactly. The whole frequency changes.
I got it. Okay, Lisa, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Good. Your question for Eckhart Tolle.
Yes. Hi, Eckhart.
Hello, Lisa.
I seem to be a little bit backwards in terms of really understanding the power of now. I am an artist, so I'm very familiar with being in the moment, and I feel like I embrace that and live it fully as my calling. And as you two mentioned earlier, I have a sense of being in this world but not of this world. So when I get a compliment on the painting, it doesn't actually feel like I've done the painting.
Yes.
It's a compliment for the big picture, whoever the powers that be. And what I aspire to is having more of that kind of experience in my daily life, in the mundane tasks, which seems to take up a lot of time.
Yes.
And so I'm wondering, what does life look like when you're not, when you're fully engaged and you're cleaning the cat box or you're doing the bills or you're grocery shopping?
Okay, yeah. So you are able to be present when you do your artwork.
Yeah, and also when I'm driving, oddly enough.
Yes. And now what happens when you go shopping or do other tasks at home? You lose the presence?
Frustrated and bored.
Ah, yes.
Bored, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Okay.
Okay.
Good. Let's see. you have to become very alert to see, to look at your inner state at that time. So, and when you say, I become frustrated or bored, you have to become alert and see what that actually means, what happens inside you when you become frustrated or bored, and you may find that a whole train of thinking arises that is either negative about what you're doing or about some problem that you may have, or what is boredom? Boredom is the thinking mind is looking for some kind of stimulus and it's not finding enough because the cleaning job, the cleaning that you're mm-hmm. doing is not enough for the thinking mind, so it gets very bored and restless. It says, I want something more interesting to feed on. So basically, it's the mind begins to be active inside you, and then the opportunity arises of being the awareness that observes what your mind is doing at this moment. So your mind is complaining perhaps about what you're doing, or doesn't like it and has certain judgments about it. And then you may also observe the emotions that you have that come with those judgments. When the mind says, I don't want to be doing this, I would rather be doing something else. What emotion do you have when the mind says that? Because to a large extent, the emotions you experience are a reflection of your thought processes. So you observe the two levels, thinking and the emotions, as the reflection of thinking in the body. And then you ask yourself, okay, you become aware of the thoughts and you become aware of the emotions, the restlessness, the anxiety. And then you ask yourself, who am I at this moment? And you will realize you are not the thinking, you are not the emotions, you are the awareness behind them, from where you can see, observe the thinking and the emotions. And the moment you realize that you are the awareness, you're actually in a different state of consciousness.
And you're not bored anymore.
You're not bored. You're totally present again. So you are present as the witness or the observer of your mind and of your emotions. So the important question is, at this moment, who am I? The thoughts, the emotions, or the knower, the awareness behind?
The observer.
The observer. And you realize you are the awareness. You are the presence. And then that's your present.
So we get bored because we're looking for more stimulation for the ego.
Yes.
Right.
And that's right. The mind looks for more food for thought. Mm-hmm. It's not finding enough food for thought.
Mm-hmm.
So one very important point here is you do not need to get rid of certain thoughts. It's enough to be the awareness behind the thoughts. Then the thoughts, all the dysfunctional thoughts, lose their power. And the thoughts that remain when you're aware actually come out of awareness, and they tend to be more creative and empowered thoughts that are not negative.
Right.
All right. I hope that helped, Lisa.
It did. Thank you so much.
All right. I'm going to go to Connie now. Is Connie there? Let's go to Connie. Connie, how are you?
Thank you both very much. You've given me many new perspectives today. I'm 49 years old and recently divorced after a 21-year marriage. And for the first time, both of my sons are in college. And before I was a computer programmer, and now I have an opportunity that I love, teaching senior citizens how to communicate using computers. But I'm under tremendous pressure to make more money and to go back to corporate America because my alimony is on a declining structure. So my question is, I can get into the now, and I have been practicing this for over 5 years with yoga and what have you, but will I always, or does one always go into a pain body or a fear body or a mind awareness and then come back out? Do you think it is ever possible to live peacefully in the now, or is that too much of a lofty goal?
I love that question. Can you explain pain body too as you answer that question, Eckhart?
Yes, the pain body, as I call it, is an accumulation of past emotion that still lives inside you. A lot of it comes from childhood,
mm-hmm.
many painful childhood experiences, and children often need to cut themselves off from emotional pain because they cannot endure it, and that's normal for a child who suffers emotional pain. And most children these days suffer pain, one form or another. So pain leaves remnants in the body, and those remnants of emotional pain I call the pain body. They are an energy form consisting of old emotion. And one way of looking at it is just look at it as almost an entity that lives inside you, an emotional entity. It has two stages. One is dormant and one is active. So for certain periods of time, you don't even know that you have a pain body. And then regularly, at regular intervals, something happens and your pain body will get triggered. It will come out of its dormant stage and it will move into your thinking mind and start to control your thinking. So a very powerful negative emotion suddenly invades your thinking mind and then controls the internal dialogue, all your thinking. The pain body has then woken up, so to speak, and it does that periodically because it needs to feed on negative energy, which can be in the form of your thoughts or it can be in the form of other people's reactions. So the pain body will often try to provoke a negative reaction in your partner so that it can feed on the negative reaction from your partner. So many people who are in relationships can recognize that in that the periodic need for drama in relationships. So if you are able to observe that in yourself, then you don't get completely drawn into the pain body, and then the pain body cannot renew itself through you. So it's vital to be there as the awareness when it happens and realize, oh, there's my pain body, or there's my partner's pain body, so that you don't confuse it with who you are. So you remain there as the awareness. Now, the question is, can we ever be free of the pain body? Can we ever be free of negative reactions, falling back into all that? This question, I would recommend that we simplify the question, and rather than asking, can we ever be free, which is a huge amount of future time,
mm-hmm.
can I be free at this moment? Is really the only question that you truly need to ask yourself. Because the only place where you can ever be free or need ever be free is this moment,
right?
Not the rest of your life, just this moment. Because when you look more closely, you'll see that this moment is all there ever is. So I would recommend that you rephrase your question. Don't ask about ever or for the rest of your life, but be content with simply addressing this moment at any given time.
And what's the answer? Can you be free right now, Connie?
I'm closer to it than I have ever been before.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Eckhart, this has just been one of the great joys of my career, to be able to sit down and talk to you. I mean, I've thought about this time that we've shared together on this radio show. I've thought about this for so many years, like, what would it be like? What would it be like? And it has been more than I could ever imagine. And so I was wasting my time. I should have just waited for the now, thinking about what it could be like. Thank you for all of your encouraging inspiration that has allowed myself and so many other people who've read your works, The Power of Now, Stillness Speaks, New Earth, have allowed us all to see our own lives differently and to see the possibility of an awakened consciousness. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Oprah.
Thank you
so much.
Thanks for joining us on XM 156.
I hope you enjoyed this edition of our Soul Series. These are some of my favorite conversations.
To hear more, sign up for a free 30-day XM Radio trial by going to www.xmradio.com/Oprah.